Turn to the book of Daniel.
Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
And the title of the message this morning is Young Daniel, an Example of Unlimited Faith. And we'll be in Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 12. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin in verse 12. We're going to, little by little, make our way through the book of Daniel, verse by verse. And this is a powerful principles. And if you're in here today and you're still considered a child or children, or maybe you're in your youth, or maybe you're a teenager, or maybe you're a college age, I want to ask you this morning to really pay close attention, and I pray that today's message would be an incredible encouragement to you. We love you, and we are extremely excited that you choose every Sunday morning to be a part of the Lord's work and be here at church. And so this morning, there's a great emphasis on our young people. So let's begin in verse 12, Daniel chapter 2. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, which would have included Daniel and his three friends. Verse 13. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now look at what Daniel says starting in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." You might remember a story you heard several years ago of a guy named Jeremy Wistich. And he was known for stopping a school bus, from crashing. Jeremy was 13 years old, sitting in his normal spot on the school bus, about three seats back. And he looked up and he noticed that the school bus driver had collapsed. His hands fell by his side. Nobody was manning the wheel. And he slumped over. And when he slumped over, this young Jeremy decided, "I've got to do something." So Jeremy went up there and he couldn't get his foot on the brake. And he was trying to work the controls. He steered the bus over to the side towards the edge of the road where it'd be safer. And he couldn't get his foot to the brake, so he literally kills the ignition, turns it off, pulls the key out so that the bus dies, so that the engine dies. At the same time, one of his good friends, and his name was Johnny Wood. And Johnny Wood comes up, gets the school bus driver out of the seat. They manage to get the bus to a stop. And then the friend begins to do CPR, another kid. In the meantime, and this happened in 2012, so there were cell phones, other kids on the bus that happened to have a phone began to call 911 and to get help. So what we saw there is we saw three kids, actually more, because not all, there were several of them that called 911, so you could say a minimum of four, had stepped up to the plate to save the folks that were on that school bus from certain disaster. And if you're in here today and you're young, and you may say, I feel so intimidated when I'm in church around all of the older generation. I feel like I'm in an adult's world when I come to church. I want to encourage you from the scriptures today that we're in your world as well. You are our future leaders. You are our future leaders in this church and in this nation, in this community. And the resolve that you have today is going to, in some ways, be a part of what God has destined for you in your future. Today, our young people are inundated with things that you and I have never been inundated with. When we were kids, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. And if you were lucky in school or in high school, you could have either a twin sister that was extremely smart, and you could try to sit behind her in class. That's what I did. Or if you were in math and you could get a hold of one of those little things made by Texas Instruments, a calculator, you felt like you were ahead of the game. But today kids have, and our youth, they're getting all the information that you and I get. They see all the same news stories. They see all the same things that we see at a very young age. In some ways, their innocence is robbed from them due to that. So we, as the older generation, have a responsibility to love on our youth, to pray for our youth, to create an environment by which they can step out in faith, to allow them to be called into the ministry or called into ministries or missions, to be called and to be used of God, because it was the youth in the Bible that led Israel throughout the Old Testament. Daniel, right here, when you're in chapter 1, and you can make a note of this if you write in your Bible. In chapter 1 of Daniel, he was about 16 years old, taken captive 600 miles away east of Jerusalem in what is now modern-day Iraq. There he is, a captive, 16 years old. By the time we get to chapter 2 of Daniel, he is now around 19 or 20, real young. And let me just kind of catch you up with the context real quick. Nebuchadnezzar is in his second year of reign, which means that this is the fourth year of captivity. So if you go Daniel 16 years old, so there's 17, 18, 19, 20. So he's around 19 or 20 because chapter 2, verse 1 gives us the time frame. Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar was serving under his dad in the first 2 years. But when his dad passes away, Nebuchadnezzar now has the reign, and that's why it says 2 years. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. God allowed him to have this dream. God put this dream in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And in this dream, he sees this great big image with a head of gold, and that's Nebuchadnezzar. That was a reign that started way before Nebuchadnezzar, but it lasted for 1,700 years. And it was the Babylonian Empire. And he sees in this dream, he sees this chest and arms of silver. That was the Medes and the Persians. That was the Medo-Persia Empire. And then he sees the belly of brass and bronze. That was the Alexander the Great Empire. That was the Grecian Empire. And then he sees the legs of iron and the feet of iron and the toes, and it's mixed with iron and clay. And in that part of the vision, that is the Roman Empire by which Jesus would enter into the world during the Roman Empire. And then there's the 10 toes, the confederacies that came from that. And so then something happens in his dream that really troubles him. Because he sees this stone cut out of a mountain, a small stone, but cut without hands. Anytime you see in the Bible, cut without hands or something without hands, it means it is spiritual in nature. Just as we have a building from God that is made without hands. It is spiritual in nature. So this stone, this small stone, is cut out of the mountain and it hits the toes. And this mighty image begins to crumble and it begins to fall. And then this little stone that caused this image to fall and the wind to blow it away as dust. This little stone, which is Jesus Christ, His kingdom, cut without hands. Comes during that Roman Empire, crushes the feet. And then the Bible says in his dream that that stone became a mighty mountain. That's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are in Lyndale, Texas, or Mount Sylvan, Texas. There's Israel way over there. I've been there, and you ride on an airplane forever and a day. That stone became massive. You, as a born-again Christian today, and loving the Lord, and here worshiping the Lord today, are a part of that stone, that mountain. You are a living stone placed in that spiritual building that God has built. You say, but I'm young and I don't know what to do. Daniel was young and God put his destiny before him. And so the first thing I want you to see in your points is this. In a crisis, young Daniel teaches us to get the facts. So Daniel has found out that people are dying, wise men are dying, and he knows we're in that list. Remember chapter 1? And so Daniel and his three Hebrew friends that we see throughout the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is what we know them as, but the king had given them Babylonian names. So you have to see them in both sides. They have their Jewish name, then they have their Babylonian names when you're reading in the book of Daniel. And so Daniel knows, he says, I'm a young man, and he's coming after us. But Daniel had a faith. Let me tell you what made Daniel different from a lot of the young people that had been taken captive. Daniel did not put limits on God. Our faith is not faith when we put limits on God. He didn't do that. Daniel saw every problem, every crisis. He put God in the equation so that he could see it weighed against the God of heaven. And so here is Daniel. He could have hid. He could have got with his three friends and figured out some kind of escape route out of Babylon. He could have done many things because he finds out they're all being killed. And why? And so rumors are going around at why? At what the deal is, just like it would be today. Rumors have got started. Verse 12. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He was angry. By the way, when he went to the soothsayers and everybody else, the astrologers, all those people, the wise men, four different groups, when he went to them asking, he didn't ask for just the interpretation as he had done before. You know what he's asking for? Because he doesn't trust them. He wants them to tell him what he dreamed. Well, that'd be hard to do. And he's saying, if you can't tell me the dream, you've got to tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And so the astrologers and the soothsayers and Chaldeans and all the rest, they began to tell him, there's not a person on this earth that can do that. Nobody can do that. Nobody can tell you what you dreamed. And so he comes to this place in verse 13. The king is angry. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now watch this. 20 years old, look how Daniel's reacting. Then with counsel and wisdom, I wonder who all Daniel had talked to or if he just talked to the Lord in prayer. But the Bible tells us in verse 14 that with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Now this is the guy over the executioners. Daniel could have ran from him as soon as he saw him coming. But instead, Daniel goes to him, and look, Daniel is getting the facts. Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? That tells us that Daniel didn't even know, that perhaps there was just rumors and speculation. So Daniel, the first thing he's going to do before he reacts, he wants to know what the facts are. Today, when we turn on the news or anything else, I mean, you get so many different news stories and so many different slants and different ideas and thoughts, you don't know who to believe anymore. Daniel didn't listen to all that. Daniel got the facts. Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. In other words, Arioch explained to Daniel that, hey, king needs somebody to tell him what he dreamed and needs somebody to tell him what it means. So look at Daniel's reaction, verse 16. By the way, as you read through the book of Daniel, here's something that's interesting. You see a calm resolve in his faith. all the way through. You see, Daniel is always respectful, even to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's yes sir, no sir type guy. He has integrity, and he's always respectful. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Do you see the faith right here? He's saying, Arioch, take me to the king. This is a guy that's furious and wants to kill you. And Daniel is saying, I'm going to the source. Just to ask to stand before the king, especially as a captive, could have cost him his life. And he says, I want to go talk to the king. And he asked the king with respect that the king would give him time. So the king did. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is who that is. And look at what he does, that they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven. I want to go ahead and give you the rest of your outline, because all of this is fixing to connect together. In a crisis, young Daniel teaches us to get the facts. Secondly, young Daniel teaches us to decide to lead. There he is with his group of friends, and he decides, I'll be a leader. You may be young in here today, but you'll have, in your life and in your experience, you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to lead. And once you make that decision that you're going to lead, what that will do is it finally gives you permission to truly grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to take him serious. Let me just share with you from an older generation. I don't consider myself old. But if we could live life over again, if I could start over living life again, I would want to resolve in my heart at a young age that I was going to grow in the Scriptures, truly grow in the Scriptures from a young age, and that I would decide to lead at a young age. Let me tell you, if you live your life in reactionary mode to the world that you're growing up in, you're going to lead yourself into frustration, anxiety, and depression, because that is the world, that's what it's going to give you. But if you'll decide in your heart right now, maybe you're 8 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, 19, 20, 21, if you'll decide right now, if you'll make a decision in your heart that, Lord, I'm going to lead, and I'm going to lead with integrity, and I'm going to lead with responsibility, and I'm going to lead loving the Lord, let me tell you something. God will put a path in front of you like you've never seen before. Listen, God had a hedge of protection around Daniel. And we see Daniel from the time that the empire took him captive to 85 years old when they're finally released 70 years later. We see Daniel still there. Still there, because God had a use and a purpose to use him. I love what Matthew Henry, he's a great commentator from the late 1600s. He died in the early 1700s. Matthew Henry's father taught him a creed so that he could always keep his focus. And it's real simple, but this is what it was. I take God the Father to be my Father. I take God the Son to be my Savior. I take the Holy Ghost to be my Sanctifier. I take the Word of God to be my rule. I take the people of God to be my people, and I do hereby dedicate and yield. Simple enough. Daniel made a decision that he was going to lead. By the way, the Bible says in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So let me catch you up at what happens here. Daniel, he goes to rest, and the Lord begins to tell him not only the interpretation, but he gives Daniel the dream. He tells Daniel all about the image, and Daniel sees it, Daniel understands it, and he tells Daniel the interpretation of the image, and Daniel knows he has heard from the God of heaven. Daniel does not get prideful because he's heard from the God of heaven. He gets humble, and we see that in verses 20 through 23. And I'll pick up at verse 24 because I want you to see what happens. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus to him. Look at the confidence he has. This 20-year-old young man who saw his adversary as no match for God. He says, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon." Can you imagine how the king must have felt when a young captive walks in and says, "Don't you destroy the people of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Arioch is the king's right-hand man. He is the executioner over the guard, over the military. And Arioch quickly shows you how much he respected Daniel, because Daniel was a respectful person. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." Daniel does that. Daniel says that in verse 27, that the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king because they were reaching out to false gods for their information. But I want you to see what Daniel does. He exalts the Lord. Look at verse 28, the theme verse of the whole book of Daniel. "But there is a God in heaven," a God in heaven, "who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." And then he unpacks it about the image and everything. Because he interprets the dream and he knows the dream, of course, later we see that the King Nebuchadnezzar exalts Daniel to an exalted position in Babylon. It's amazing. Not only that, but he stops the killing of the wise men, and his three friends survive. But Daniel has many more faith trials and tests that he's going to experience. But Daniel did three things, and I think that our young people can learn from it, and us, we learn from these same things. Number one, you got to get the facts. Number two, you got to make a decision in your heart that you will lead. You got to say, "I am going to be a leader." Number three, include your Christian friends. In verse 17, he made the decision known, and he asked them to pray specifically. He gave them a specific prayer. We talked about that not too long ago in a sermon. Pray specifically. And he said, "Pray that God will allow me to know the dream and the interpretation of it." It was not a broad, general prayer. It was very specific. And that moved the heart of God. And God opened his eyes to understand the dream. Now, I'm going to keep this simple this morning, so I'm going to end that part right here, but I want to share just a few things to encourage you. And if you have a pen, you might want to make notes of these scriptures, and I want to encourage you to go read them. Maybe you feel despised and you're young and you feel intimidated by all the adults in the room. I want to encourage you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity." By the way, Timothy was very young when God called him to preach, and Paul is having to encourage him. There's another example. King David was just a youth, basically a boy, teenage boy. King David was just a youth when Israel was challenged by Goliath. Remember that story? The Philistines are lined up against the armies of Israel. David walks up. He's been out there and keeping sheep and things of that nature. He's no soldier or anything. He's a young man. And he walks up and he wants to know who that guy is standing out there defying the armies of Israel. And they say, "Oh, that's Goliath. The guy's 15 feet tall and mean as a snake." Well, he goes to Abner, and Abner's a commander, and he wants to know, "You know, let me go fight him." So Abner takes him to King Saul, and King Saul says, "Now, young man, you don't know what you're getting into." So finally he says, "Look, I've killed a bear, I've killed a lion, I've done all these things." So King Saul starts putting all the armor on him, the sword and the coat of mail and all this stuff on him, and he can't even walk in it. So young David throws it all off. And he takes the experiences and the training that he's already had, and he goes to the brook and he finds five smooth stones, some just right stones. I got a feeling he's praying over every stone. "Will this one get him, Lord? Will that one get him, Lord?" And he puts them in his bag. He gets his slingshot ready and a staff in his hand, just like he had when he was out shepherding the sheep. And he gets up there to Goliath, and Goliath says, "You come after me with a stick as if I'm a dog?" And Goliath begins to taunt him. And you know what he does? His words were words of faith. King David begins to say, you come against the God of heaven. You're coming against the armies of the Lord. And so King David is thinking and speaking from a heart of faith as he approaches Goliath. And King David literally starts running towards Goliath. Running. That's faith. Starts the sling around his head. The stone comes loose. And you know the rest of the story. Goliath hits the ground. Jeremiah was just a youth when God called him to be a prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. When the Lord set him apart and called him. By the way, the story of David and Goliath is in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 1 Samuel chapter 17. You get on down and you can think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was 17 years old when God began to map out his destiny through adversity. 17. In 1934, you remember a man by the name of Billy Graham. Billy Graham was saved at 16 years old. He was at a series of revival meetings in Charlotte that were hosted by an evangelist named Mordecai Fowler Ham. Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus Christ and has preached before his death to millions upon untold millions all over the world because he made a decision at 16 to give his heart to Jesus. One of my favorite preachers is Dr. Tony Evans. Tony Evans is the founding pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Began in his home in 1976 and has grown to a membership of way over 10,000 people. Tony Evans has led in many different school outreach programs, all kinds of things. You say, how did he get his start? Because Tony, at a young age, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, decided to lead, and involved his friends. Became a warrior with his friends. He went to seminary. And while in seminary, a radio producer from Houston, by the way, at this time, Tony Evans is 24 years old, and a producer from Houston contacted the Dallas Theological Seminary and said, do y'all have somebody that can preach on our radio for free? We need somebody for free. They thought about it, and they said, Tony Evans. And you see the history of what God has done with Tony Evans. You see, what he did, prayer was prioritized. Daniel prioritized prayer. Prayer was specific. Prayer was heard, and then he stepped forward in faith. I want to ask you today that if you're a child or teenager or whatever you might be, I want to ask you, today is your service. God may be speaking to your heart and you may want to come forward this morning. You may feel a call into ministry and not really know what it is right now. You can come forward today and we'll pray with you. You may feel called to preach and you don't know what to do. You can come forward this morning and you can give your heart to Jesus to preach. I went forward several times at our church and my pastor kept sending me back to the seat. And I asked him later, the last time he kept me at the front, I said, why did you always send me back to my seat? I just want to make sure it was of God. I didn't want to be the one doing this. He didn't want to push me. He wanted to make sure it was of God. And it was of God. And I want to tell you, today's your service. I want to encourage you today, if you're downhearted, if you're a little anxious, maybe a little depressed, I want you to lift up your spirit. We need you. We need you to lead. We need you to grow in the Bible and to grow in the Lord. I want to encourage our Sunday school teachers, regardless of what child, if from nursery all the way through our youth department, you are an absolute necessity in this church. Amen. And what you do for our young people. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.